In every age, God raises people up to speak the truth to the world in a way that is currently relevant. Though our opinions should not be held with the same esteem as the biblical canon, we still carry the hope of Christ to the world. Our society has forgotten what it means to follow Christ. The bright lights of truth seekers are barely visible in the dim twilight of a post-Judeo-Christian society. We all see the darkness coming. All we can hope is to share the light that He has entrusted to us. This is Modern Apocrypha.
Hey, I'm Jared.
And I'm Craig.
This is Modern Apocrypha.
Welcome, everybody.
So,
my topic at the moment, yeah. I wanted to talk about, I'm hearing it everywhere, and I really want to know your thoughts on it. I want to express my thoughts on it about the concept of an American Civil War. What would cause it? Where are we now? You know, violence among political parties, yada, yada, yada. Are we approaching an American Civil War? Do you see something on the horizon that you didn't foresee 10 years ago? That sort of, You know,
it's kind of an open question in my mind. I think really the question is, first off, we have to define what we mean by war. Do we mean open fighting of one group of people against another group of people where there are two separate political...
Kinetic warfare.
Right, but okay, so kinetic warfare can take a lot of forms. You know, we went into Afghanistan and we were there for 10 years and we came out of Afghanistan and we had something that looked like guerrilla warfare going on, but it wasn't exactly, you know, it wasn't like we had the North versus the South. It was more like there are these sort of decentralized groups that are fighting. And was it a civil war? What about what happened in Iraq? Is that a civil war? What constitutes civil war? Because if the question is there a chance that we could have Americans shooting each other on American soil here in the States in the next 5 years because of political things? I think the answer is yes. But exactly how do you define civil war? Because, you know, basically war is just a continuation of other efforts to exert power, right? It's just the next logical step when certain efforts to exert power have failed. So, example, we see the left trying to do really tyrannical, totalitarian things in our politics in America. That's just happening. And if Kamala Harris were to get reelected, do I think that there is a certain percentage of the population that would not take kindly to it and would try to find a way to, with kinetic warfare, repulse that advance politically? I think it's possible. It depends on what that agenda, the leftist agenda, tries to do. It depends on how hard they push, whose buttons they push. So do I think that's a possibility? Sure. But do I think it would involve an organized political force that is the old American government against an organized political force that is a, call it a revolutionary government or a rebel government? No, I don't think that would happen. So it depends on what you think civil war looks like or would mean.
Sure. I think the space where it's where it hits me as a threat to our locale would be a schism in the religion of the country. Right now, we're primarily Judeo-Christian with an ever-increasing Islamic presence.
Oh, excuse me.
So if you ever get to a spot where there's a grouping of states that breeds like crazy, because, you know, they'll just rape to breed, then you end up with some group that's massive and fighting, right? Massive and fighting.
I disagree about what we are religiously. I don't think we are majority Judeo-Christian. I think that we are majority woke in this country, that the majority religion in the country, the largest religion in the U.S. is woke, and that Christianity is second to that, and Islam is a very, very distant third.
It's an interesting position because people will be in that space of denying their faith, but in this, in the same like action, doing things that are traditionally Judeo-Christianly moral. So the, in the same way that, oh gosh, what's the little British man that loves cathedrals, but doesn't, but is a new atheist. He's the most popular new atheist.
I don't know who you're talking about exactly. You know, as far as it goes, we also have a problem here when we're talking about religion, because I am not a religious person. I believe in Christ. I do not belong to an organized cult, which is what religions are.
That's fair.
And so do we say that we have a woke cult, which is partially comprised of people who claim to be in the Christian cult, that a lot, there are a lot of people in Christian cult, in a Christian cult, a Christian religion. And then there are Islamic, there are Islamic inroads being made into the country for sure. But, you know, exactly how do we categorize those things? Because here's the fact. The fact is that we have anyone who is a Christian who follows Christ for real may be part of one of those religious bodies. That doesn't make that religious body valid. It's not valid because religious bodies are not, they all belong to the enemy. Only we who belong to Christ are part of Christ's. And so, you know, how do we exactly characterize this? Because reality is, if you follow Islam versus Catholicism, Catholicism is partially, they worship, some of them worship Ishtar. Some of them are real Christians. Some of them are functionally atheists. In religion, they worship a, or in Islam, they worship a moon god, which may be, you know, it may be Saturn that they are, that they're worshiping, which is a different spiritual being. So are Ishtar and Saturn at each other's throats right now, or have they been brought together to do something because they hate God so much and they know the time of Jesus's second coming is coming soon? And what exactly does that look like? Because reality is, God protects his people who are, who belong to him, whatever, whatever body of religion they claim, God protects his people. And he does that by setting these other forces against each other to give us room. That's a lot of what this world is politically.
Sorry about that, everyone. We're having some technical difficulties. My brand new system for this is fritzing out. So, demons in the wires.
You know, what we're talking about, before we hit record again here, we were mentioning Britain and talking about what's going on over there as sort of a civil war. You know, that's actually probably the best analog to what I could see happening here in the U.S. as, because what's going on over there, as near as I can tell, is the establishment powers are woke. And because they are under the direction of the same spiritual forces that are invading, in basically Islam is invading, because
it's interesting to see who's invading. It's interesting to see who's invading. This is something that I paid a bit of attention to as the mixture, the, you know, of the population of the UK is making its voice known. I hear Indian ladies, Kawawan, that their families aren't going to be able to come or whatever it may be, the end of immigration, as if it's getting rid of deporting people, right? The end of immigration, treating the end of immigration as if it's deportation. And that is just a red flag that you just want to bring more of your family over. You're really worried that you can't bring your family over because your home country sucks that bad.
I don't know. I know what I see happening in Britain is an invasion of Islam into what has traditionally been a Judeo-Christian culture under the authority, under the sort of the watch of a woke establishment, and that the British people are at a point where they're ready to fight back, but they've basically been disarmed over the past few decades, and so they don't have any real appeal to arms left because they don't have any arms left. You can't do that in the U.S. That's not a thing. The U.S. loves its arms way too much for that, and you can't take them away. If somebody tried to take away the guns in America in a real way, then we might see some kinetic warfare, and we might see some interesting things happen. But I you can't have it happen quite the same way, but to say that we haven't had this massive influx of human beings coming across our southern border for literally decades now at a rate that is totally unsustainable and will essentially wipe us out as a meaningful population. Yeah, that is happening.
That is. And through targeted attack where they claim they're breeding us out. It's not as if they're not intentionally trying to get there. So they say,
this isn't just breeding though. This is like the people who are coming here are mostly like working age men, fighting age men. They're the family aspect of the what's coming here is a lot less. So I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of different motivations behind that. Some of it's valid, some of it's not. And it's really hard to parse that because really this is a better place to be than a lot of the places those men are coming from, but they're not bringing their families, man. So
they're not. It's a really interesting space. I'm not sure how much access there is to families where they're coming from. And it's not as if
that's a good question.
One of the reasons to leave is that you're not high enough in the caste system to qualify for a wife. Okay, I'm getting out of here. I mean, that's one of the biggest changes with the cell phone and the internet, as it were, is that everybody can see it's better somewhere else, right? Everybody. You can't hide how bad you are to your populace anymore. So because of that, that's been a real problem for the tyranny around the world, but that doesn't change as the people come here looking for their opportunity to make their happy place, whatever they think it is, that's going to headbutt with. We have a Sharia law location in Washington. Ilhan Omar is Montana's or something, senator, congresswoman. Nonetheless, we have the influx of horribly different backgrounds trying to mesh together. And I think that is the place where we would have people that are considered American fighting each other.
Well, and the thing that you can't miss here, though, is that we have had a massive influx of immigrants for most of our country's history. There are things that are different about it now, but that's mostly that the American, we had an identity as Americans. For most of our history, for 200 years, we had an identity as Americans where people came here and they sort of became part of America. It wasn't a case of they came here to bring their home country to this place. It was they came here to be part of us. And that's fine. That works. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. If you look at what happened with the Irish, with the, you know, the history of the Irish coming to America is one of the more woefully undertold stories of our history, especially with all that the left's pushing in terms of the whole, whatever it is project that claims the original intent of America was to enslave black people and all of that nonsense. Guys, the Irish were as much slaves as the blacks for a very long time and were hated more to some degree because there were a lot more of them. And well, God knows, if you need to blow up the country.
If you need to blow up a tunnel for your railroad, it's much cheaper to kill an Irishman because those, you know, slaves and everything, they actually cost money. It's not like by the hour.
Well, and then you've got the Chinese, which it was a similar sort of thing. If you actually understand what happened with the Chinese immigrants to America, there just weren't as many of them. So we had a lot of uncomfortable things going on with immigration in our country's history. What we have now, though, is it isn't about being America anymore. It's about bringing other ideologies here and pushing out the American ideology. And we don't fight back against that because we have the same sort of woke overlords that the British do. Now, we do have Trump. We do have this other populist side of things that is rising up, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I think if Trump wins the election, that there's a good chance that things will be, I don't think that will lead to any kind of kinetic warfare here in America. I think we could see very interesting political and social, aggravation from a lot of people, but I don't think it'll lead to kinetic warfare, where if Kamala does and tries to take people's guns or tries to enforce this border thing for much longer, we may actually see something kinetic.
We're in a bit of a different situation this year than last year. Pre-October 7th, the left was pretty blind about its Islamist tendencies. Post-October 7th, they're very aware. And I see a lot of people that it would be lefties. They're full-on lefties. They're Black Lives Matter or whatever the heck sort of people. And they're very on board with, well, we want to be Democrats, but the current Democrats are not American. So we need to get rid of the current Democrats so we can have a good Democrat Party. They're not on the Republican side per se, but they're ready for this Democrat Party to go away.
Well, and you know, I have said many times that what I think is happening is we have this false light awakening. The Great Awakening is coming, and that it's actually going to win against the Great Reset. The Great Reset is roughly and widely a leftist based agenda, and the Great Awakening is roughly widely something else. It's not right, it's something else, but it's becoming the big tent because the left is crazy, and more people are seeing that the left is crazy. COVID woke up a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that the other thing that will prevent any sort of elite versus common man engagement is the simple fact of Bitcoin being that you can't hide your penny pinching, you know, you're stealing small amounts over time. You can't hide your stealing small amounts over time.
You're talking about inflation. You're talking about, with the currency dying, how inflation is going to become impossible.
Not even that, because you have situations where people would come and work for someone and they would get paid less than it costs to live in the work camp, right? And that sort of process also happens. And you can't do that to people under a common currency. You would have to pay them in shells and have them travel.
No,
with.
That's not true. Once you understand things about the Lightning Network is a much more private thing than Bitcoin itself. That when you're dealing with smaller amounts of the currency, it's much easier to hide what you're doing. You can't do on-chain transactions without people seeing it, but when it comes to smaller stuff, it's still pretty easy to, but it has to be smaller stuff. It's like, you know, a day's wages isn't going to show up, but a drug shipment sure would. So
it is an interesting space. Is there true privacy in who has the Bitcoin? Like if someone all of a sudden had 95% of all the money in the world, would you know?
Yes. I mean, to a degree. But the thing is, it's like, can you know exactly who owns a given chunk? No. But can you tell as time goes on where it's flowing and who owns pieces of it? Yeah, because people like to show their money. It's like these ETFs that have been going on in the Bitcoin space, we know about how much money has gone into them because they're government regulated. And government regulation isn't going away. So we know how much they have. We know what they're, you know, we know who has it and basically where it's being held. And beyond that, I don't, mechanically, in terms of the system itself, can you hide things? Yes. Is it easy to hide things in the social sense? Really, it's not. So, and the way the government is trying to get all Bitcoin sort of put into, they call it KYC in the Bitcoin community, but the idea is that they're trying to make it so that you can't buy or sell Bitcoin without the company you're buying from or selling to reporting what they got. And then from then on, they try to track it. So
sure.
It's yeah.
There's some very real risk to having free flows of money that you can't do anything about. I mean, there's the same thing of donating to Hamas and having food money go to bombs, right? I don't know what to do about that. Right, in the long run,
well, that's, you're going to end up. That's one of the good things about money. You can't do anything about it. If the money works, you can't. Money is supposed to be something that I can use for what I want and you can use for what you want. When we each own that piece of money, we get to choose. And if we make choices that are bad choices, that's not something that somebody else can decide we can't do. That's why it's money. And as long as when things start to get to a point where the outside control of the money is too tyrannical, people move to something else. They do black market things. You can't stop people from doing what they choose to do with their property past a certain point.
That's fair. I had brought up this topic. I'd like to swing back to the Civil War concept. I do believe that one of the things that brought on the Civil War was the disparity in the number of people that would be counted for voting and the inability to vote for yourself as a slave, right? So it's not like you were a free man voting. You were voting whatever your boss told you to do, which skewed the votes. It really did cause a problem in fair treatment between the different states. As we move, if we end up with a full censorship operandus that doesn't let threads of thought flow outside of, I don't know, Los Angeles, Nashville, if you've got to be in a couple of places to get the flow of thought out, those will get taken over by the worst people, and that'll be a big problem pretty quickly, right? So if you don't want to listen to the Islamists in America, so you put any kind of constraint on it, and then you end up with Nashville and Los Angeles being the two places that you can get anything posted from. It's not like New York would get included. They're not happy with New York right now. So no. That sort of thing. The other, another topic in this same exact concept, same example would be something like a Sharia law where I'm no longer allowed to go to Shreveport, Indiana, whatever, because they require that my wife puts on a burqa to be on the street, right? We do require that you can't run around no shoes, no shirt, no service, right? We require some amount of clothing, but we did cross a line with our vaccine saying that you had to do something, which is different than you can't do these exclusive things that everybody agrees you can't do.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but again, the question to me becomes what really is driving this, and is this sort of light versus dark chessboard thing going to go that far toward the dark, or is it going to be short-stopped? And I think it's going to get short-stopped. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
I can see that being something that I would fight for. You know, when you get something that says that our continental America is no longer allowed to, you can't travel freely and do things like an American.
So the other part of this that we have to remember is that we're not like most countries where, you know, in Canada, the provinces have never been individual entities. In America, the states have their roots as being individual entities. And if you put enough pressure on certain states, they're going to do that again. And there is nothing at some point that can be done to stop it, especially because, and we can't leave this part out, the US dollar is dead, man. It's dead. It isn't all the way done dying yet, but it might as well be. And when that happens, it's going to cause a huge shift in the way power is exercised in this country. And so what that tends to do is it tends to make things go toward the status quo. It tends to make things go toward the direction they were going anyway, which will mean that it will basically dissolve the federal government's control over the states, the iron hand that the federal government has used to grip the states and to force them to do the things they want to do. That sort of gets diminished, and each state can then make more of its own decisions. So you'll have Wyoming do something different from Colorado, do something different from California, do something different from Tennessee, and you don't have a collective battle for the power centers of the country anymore, so much as it decentralizing back into the states somewhat. That's kind of inevitable.
I think that there's a bit of a difference there, because as weird and different from the rest of the country as California might be, and they can pass whatever law they want, I can still take my legal to drive vehicle from a different state and drive it there where it's not legal, because I have a plate that's licensed in another state.
Actually, that is not as true as it was 10 years ago.
See, and man, I feel like that's going to cause a civil war. You can't tell me.
Okay, civil war. You keep coming back to this idea of the centralization of power being somehow inevitable and we're going to fight for it. And what I'm saying to you right now is that I think that that is a mistake, and that when the U.S. dollar sort of actually goes through its death throes, that will allow things to decentralize somewhat. So yeah, we may not be able to drive into California anymore. And you know what? I don't know if I care. I don't want to go to California anyway. Screw those guys.
I'm going to go take everything from them. There's a whole lot of fields that we need. There's a whole lot of waterways we need. It's a part of America. It's one of the reasons.
And I think that that's an incorrect understanding of the power dynamics that are going to come into play.
Interesting. I think that
it is about time to take a break. Go ahead, finish whatever thought, then we can.
One of the things that makes America so sturdy is the Rocky Mountain Range splitting our agriculture in such a way that the 7 years, plenty, 7 years drought hits one side of the country different than the other. And so we're always in plenty because of California, right? That side.
There's something to that. Yeah.
And so if we lose that security, that's a fight.
Well, there's more to it than that too. Either way, we'll be back in a minute.
Back in a minute, everyone.
As you can probably tell from the backdrop, there are new things happening here. This is my new sound studio for recording audiobooks. It's not quite done, but it's done enough that I can record an ad in it, and that's exciting. I also have an anthology that I'm just finishing now. It should be coming out real soon. I have book 2 in the Bright Star series is basically finished, other than some professional edits and the publishing, and I'm pushing on that pretty hard. I'm hoping that there will be news on that one in the near future. When it comes to audiobooks, I'm planning on recording both the anthology and Bright Star. And folks, I need support and help now more than ever. Bright Star is doing just fine. I'm perfectly happy with it, and I am expanding both my ground game and my marketing game, and things are just growing. But the best recommendation is a recommendation from a friend. So if you like what you see on Modern Apocrypha, take this as a recommendation to you. Bright Star is worth your time. And if you've read it and you like it, recommend it to somebody. Help me out getting the word out about this series. And be on the lookout. More's coming soon. Energemetra6.com, e6universe.com, promo code Israel, 10% off.
Hello, Modern Apocrypha listeners. I'd like to take a moment to lift up North Arrow Coffee. If you're like me, you enjoy quite a bit of coffee, and North Arrow has a lot of really good coffees. But they're also following their very own North Star to support pro-life organizations. At North Arrow, 15% of all sales go towards life, not just for a limited time, but for a reason. So, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can use the code E6 at the North Arrow Web Store and save 10% today. Thank you.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
So before we went to break, we were talking about this. You seem to think that America is a unit, an entity in and of itself, much more strongly than I do. And what I base my take on is something along these lines, that what holds us together right now is one ideology, that we have been ideologically one thing for a long time. And that's less true now than it has been since the Civil War, right? We have California and DC and some of the other leftist places that have really gone off the rails, and they have gone so far off the deep end that they're really not like the rest of us anymore. And then the other thing that holds us together is this centralized power structure that created the American empire, this sort of bureaucratic governmental thing, whatever it is you want to call it, that forcibly holds the country together. And so if the US dollar ends, then the only thing that's left is the ideology. And so let's say that you're right, that there are enough people who want to still own, you know, still want to be one country. We don't agree with each other enough to still be one country, which means it's going to involve one part of the country physically going to war and kinetically conquering another part of the country. And the least likely circumstances for that to work in are ones where the economy just absolutely took a nosedive. We may see some really screwed up stuff happen, but I don't see an organized civil war under those circumstances.
Because the organizing of the civil war requires some sort of banknote to get to the soldiers, to get everything.
Well, and when you lose your money, what you lose your coherence a lot. And so people end up looking for other ways to do things. It's like everything kind of falls apart. In order to have a war, you kind of have to have an impetus for it. If you almost have to study like what happened during the hyperinflations in Weimar, it did end up leading to World War II. It did end up leading to Germany as a coherent unit doing things, but they had an ideological togetherness. They had a coherence to the whole country at the time that was partly caused by that. When you have a power vacuum, which is what the US dollar dying would create, it isn't like we have enemies all around us who are getting ready to invade us. It's more like everything turns into chaos. And in the chaos, will you have some states that will do better than others? Will you have some state might try to take this part of the other state, or, you know, this part might secede and join that state or whatever? Yeah, sure. But you're not going to have two coherent groups in the country fighting each other. That isn't what that situation lends itself to. And we already have the equivalent of warfare going on informationally, right? So we have an information war going on in this country, and have for most of my lifetime. Since about the year 2000, we've had an information war going on in this country. And the question becomes, will that show its face in kinetic ways? And that'd be an interesting topic, in my opinion, to explore here.
Would you imagine that being attacking news towers or whatever? What would be the data centers?
You think kinetically too easily. What I'm talking about is we have what's going on with Trump and Elon and the left right now, because we have a president who isn't and never has been a president. He has never run his own administration. Not really. He has tried to exert his, you know, his influence and his power. And we see what happens. He was determined to run against Trump again this year. And the people who were really in power basically took that option away from him. He has not really been running things. Depending on who you ask, maybe Obama has. I don't think Kamala is. I don't think she's bright enough. But either way, it isn't Biden who's running it. Who's actually running that block? And then you look at things like what Elon Musk has been doing lately. Elon Musk has solidly allied himself with Donald Trump. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. He has the U.S. government over a barrel in ways that are really tough to explain most of the time or explore properly, because he has his finger in so many pies, everything from X to SpaceX to, the whole Tesla thing, and all of the supply lines that feed those companies, and all of the power that he has from all of the money he has and the alliances he has. Then you look at what he's been doing with Brazil lately. Okay, so right now the U.S. government has basically turned Brazil and its government against Elon. They have kicked X out of Brazil. So the question then becomes, what sort of sides form up in this circumstance? Because Elon has allied with Trump, and Trump is very much against that establishment. Do we see a situation where... You know what I'm saying? It's like we have an information war going on right now. It's Trump owns Twitter and is not letting the U.S. State Department and the U.S. government manipulate what goes on Twitter. Musk still does some manipulating himself, but he isn't letting the government do it. And Twitter is very quickly, X is very quickly becoming the most effective, the most important news source or the most important information hub in the world very, very quickly. So we have an information war going on between powers that are very much opposed to each other. They are not fighting kinetically, but this is effectively a civil war already in those terms. And so does that go hot? What does that look like? I don't know.
I don't foresee much of a rich versus poor, because oftentimes that's a strange, people aren't rich their whole lives or then aren't in the 1% their whole lives. But I do feel like where it will come up is that we will have Islamic attacks and they will force our hand to defend ourselves. That's what I see.
I don't know. You know, it's a really hard thing to say, because let's say things do get more chaotic politically here, which does look likely.
What happens whenever it's obvious that America will not side with Palestine? We're going to side with, right? Not them.
or what happens when the U.S. dollar falls apart and we have these little groups of Islamic, ideology spread throughout the country, and they start trying to exert their political will in the midst of the chaos? What about the Mormons? What about the, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of ideologies that are across this country that, given a loosening of control, would try to exert their power over their area more so. You know, early on in the U.S., the states had official churches. Like, each state had a church that was that state's official church. And if you were in that state, it wasn't very friendly to Catholics for most of the country. There were a few states where you could be okay, but it really wasn't friendly to Catholics. And there were good reasons for that. And so as the overhead control loosens up, do we see more of that ideologies at the base layer reasserting themselves in more local ways? And I think that's likely.
I do. I'm not entirely sure at what level it tips over to a broader battle, but I do see it on the religious, on the axis of the religious difference.
Well, and I guess the thing that I'm still struggling with here is you're saying civil war, and I can't even tell whether we're imagining a lot of different ideological and political factions, like lots of different states all trying to assert their intent and their agenda, or are we talking about something more centralized in two different groups? Because I don't see that one. I can't figure out how that works when the US dollar comes apart.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think what now?
That the kinetic warfare is as likely that we'll have actual fighting in the streets.
Well, I don't think we're likely to see two organized groups fighting each other through the country. I think we're likely to see, if anything, we're likely to see lots of different states, lots of different localities trying to exert their own will, their own whatever. Like if we did see the federal government's control start to slip, would we see parts of California deciding, no, you know what? You central government in Sacramento and on the coast, we just don't want anything to do with you guys anymore. You are oppressive and you're evil and you guys can just go boil your heads.
What I would expect to see would be a wave of negativity from groups not defended by the local officers, local authorities, and the populace shutting it down right now, coming back and wiping it out in a one fell swoop. But the taking over a Chicago block by a Nigerian gang, we got Venezuelan gangs in Denver taking over apartment complexes. We've got Sharia law popping up in Washington. They'll push and push and push until they push too far, and then they'll get wiped off the face of the continent.
Well, right. And what I'm saying is we'll just see that, see things kind of fragment down more. That's what I'm saying. And do I think that that involves a lot more actual killing of people than what we have today or have had for 100 years? Yeah, I actually think that that looks really bad violence wise. But do I think that that involves a lot of organized attempts to conquer other people's territory?
Now, less of that and more of going in as homegrown special forces and killing the pedophiles.
I mean, yeah, I could see stuff like that. Sure. I mean,
did you realize that there are so many pedophiles from these places? A 12-year-old is an adult.
I could see if we had grooming gangs here the way they did in Britain. I've told my wife, if we had that here, we would see actual people would not put up with that here. They would get wiped out because that isn't a thing here. We do own, keep, and bear arms. And if someone threatens our families, we're going to take them out. So no, I don't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying, what does civil war look like? I think that what we have right now is as close to what we will see in terms of civil war as is probable. There may be short outbursts of violence on a national level if and when the US dollar starts to lose its grip. But beyond that, I don't foresee a lot of what you would call hot civil war between known political groups. I think that's kind of a difficult.
I don't feel like we're as far away from it as you do. And from the gossipy, silly people just talking, not any hard evidence of it, but just where we're at. That is where a lot of people feel like we're at. Well, I mean, okay, how long are we going to be the nice guys while we're being assaulted from every angle?
Yeah, but what does that mean? It requires organization, Greg. You have to have people organized to do that sort of thing. If you have a gang take over an apartment building near you, I can see people eventually getting sick of that and just putting it down. That I can see, but that's not hot civil war. That's like suppression of gang violence and not, you know, people stopping putting up with other ideologies invading their territory. That's not civil California. War. That's
California, through the federal government, wants to come into your hometown and mandate that anybody can walk into a building and check the box and get their abortion. They're mandating legal abortion from their state into yours.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I think if that happens, we'll see states' rights reasserting themselves and people just go, no, you can't do that here. No, just no.
Well, multiple states putting down their foot about their rights in different directions is called a civil war.
No, that's, and see, that's what I'm saying is, what are we calling a civil war? What does it look like? There are a million ways this could go. And yes, I can see that being a real scenario, but I just don't see that there's a comprehensive scenario that we can talk about, because I don't see two groups organizing to fight each other being an easy thing to imagine, provided the US dollar does die.
It's an interesting space. I have an easier time imagining getting there. Much easier. Much easier. I mean, you don't have to pay me to protect my kids.
No, true. And I will protect my kids, but I don't think it involves North versus South.
No. And if anything, it'd be East versus West nowadays.
I don't think it involves East versus West, or even East versus Middle versus West.
Or even rich versus poor. It's American versus non-American is what it is.
Well, and what does that mean? Because we don't have territory that's owned. This territory is owned by Americans and this is owned by non-Americans. What we have is this great big mishmash of mess. And it will look like guerrilla warfare all the way across the country before it would look like an organized civil war, is what I'm saying.
Well, that would be an organized civil war. People don't line up to get shot like they did in the 1600s.
Which is why I'm pushing on this notion of what a civil war looks like, because I think what we have in terms of information stuff going on right now could lead to a lot more chaos and guerrilla warfare type stuff, but I don't think it looks like two organized territorial zones duking it out. And that's what I've been trying to get across this whole time, is just that I don't know exactly what civil war looks like. I do think it could get more violent in the US very quickly, very easily. But I don't think it looks like what the Civil War looked like. I think it looks like something very different.
That's what, well, certainly the technology of war has changed quite a bit. I mean, your availability of extension of force is way, way higher than it used to be. But
yeah. At the same time, though, we don't have the same division of ideologies that it would be easy for two different groups to sort of mesh together. What we have is sort of the various stuff across the coasts and then the center of the country, except for Colorado, is all kind of in the same.
The globalists around the globe are pretty anti-Israel for whatever reason.
I don't see what that has to do with the discussion.
Just as a group in America, globalist personalities.
I mean, yeah, they are, but I wouldn't go to war for Israel.
No, not specifically. I mean, that's a strange one, because if they were being invaded by the world, I would. I would strap a rifle on my back and swim to Israel to help them.
Well, I hear you. I think God's got them covered.
Right. I don't expect to have to, but
I mean, well, what I'm saying is, if God wants me to go there, he'll tell me so, but I don't expect that to be the case. I think he has that in hand. What I think, though, is that the situation here in the States could devolve significantly. I think that could happen, but I don't think it would be as organized and as I think it would look much more like anarchy and chaos than civil war. If you could draw a line between those things.
That is interesting, because you would not be in the situation of the original American Civil War, where it was brother on brother kill. Right? That was really rough, where families were attacking each other.
Yeah.
And I don't see that per se, but I do see something on the codification of who's area this is. I mean, we try. I mean, there's the, I can imagine up and down.
Well, sure, Oregon, but that looks like the chaos that I'm describing. That's what I'm saying.
And it's not Democrats versus Republican, the Democrat states versus the Republican states or anything along those lines. It isn't. That's not an expected angle.
That's what a lot of people seem to imagine, but I just can't see it being that simple because the urban areas are incredibly, incredibly leftist and the rural areas are incredibly, incredibly conservative. And without the rural areas, the urban areas die real quick. Like if you close off a city, if you blockade a city and they don't get food, you get a lot of dead people real fast and we still have to move food. So how exactly do you set this up? I think it's a tough one to try to game out, and thinking that it's realistic that that could happen. I would much more foresee a lot more stuff where this immigration that we've had, this illegal immigration that we've had, some of those illegal immigrants try to mess with established order in certain parts of the country and get absolutely squashed, like you said.
Yeah.
Which to me
is such a strange thing too. I had a funny daydream about these people coming in, finding it to be so nice, settling down with some nice wives and just being here because it's so much better than where they came from. That was a funny thought, coming in thinking you're attacking and finding a nice lady. Oh,
well,
We have lots of single ladies here. Please take some of them.
Yeah, that's a cultural thing, though, because what we have there is we have this expectation by a big chunk of our culture, which is mostly, you know, leftist, that these certain rights that they expect to have will be just accepted and protected. And yet under the order of the leftist administrations, those rights are not protected, that they do not get taken care of, that does not happen. And so it turns into a mess. And there are lots of places where those of us who are conservative and Christian and have some gumption just go, nope, that ain't going to happen here, man. You go to cities. That's okay. That's up to you, but not in my backyard. You don't.
Well, and even in the cities, it's hard to track everybody. You know, you can hide in plain sight, but idea of taking over a block and not flattening that block to glass on TV so that everyone can see burning bodies running away, saying you don't do that, right? You took over a building. That building's gone now. How do you like that, right?
Well, you know, the thing that we actually see in scripture that has always been interesting to me is that at the end of the age, there will be an enforced peace that will destroy many. And that's an interesting thing that the Bible says that. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I could see there being a lot of very localized chaos, but I don't see a lot of, I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Well, wars and rumors of wars certainly puts it in a rumor. Well,
wars and rumors of wars comes before. That isn't the whole time. That isn't clear through. That's before the end. During the birth pangs, there are wars and rumors of wars. During the main event, there's an enforced peace. That's what the Bible says.
Gotcha. Certainly messy.
Well, and before that, we should see a war of Gog and Magog, which is...
Do you know what that means?
I've heard two or three different interpretations of it. I have a general notion of what I think it means, but I wouldn't care to give an exposition on it. Why?
My understanding of it is Gog is a man and Magog is the land that he came from. So a man fighting the land, right? Man versus nature.
That actually I think is not true, or that's never anything that I have heard even close to. I have heard various things, but you know, again, that's something we could explore at some point, but we don't have enough time during this episode.
Certainly,
in fact, we're down to a couple of minutes.
We should pinch up anything. I would say that if you are in a space where you are not academically looking at this topic, if you are in a anger spot, if you are wildly confused and looking at maybe you are headed to war for some reason, we're not there. We're talking about scary, bad things that people shouldn't do. So if you find yourself in that place, reconsider, look at how what your local area is doing to you. The whole world's not there with you. Look for some help.
Yeah, no, I violence is not something that I want to see anyone initiate. And
well, the armies that are looking are most often the worst people, right? If you look at the armies that are out there looking for soldiers, that they're not good people. So don't volunteer to be their soldier.
Yeah, well, that's especially true here in the States. You don't want to be.
I'm thinking about the poor kids that get entranced by ISIS or something, right? That's where.
Oh, sure. Imagining. Now, there's plenty of craziness out there. Yep. Well, with that, I don't have anything more in particular. You know, I don't have anything definitive to say on the topic. I had a couple of opinions, but man, there's just so much that could happen.
There's a lot that can happen. Keep your head, above water and communicate. The shutting down communication is one of those things that's going to build up the pressure, and you want to relieve the pressure.
Either way, God bless everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Till next time.